Lifestyle, toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. As we continue taking your phone calls about whatever you want, let's talk to... I believe we have, again, you can bring up anything here. Let's go to Jesse in Oregon. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Jesse.
Hello there.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Okay, well, I called to talk about last night you had a caller. He's a regular caller. I forget his name. He called to talk about the resource-based economy discussed in the movie Zeitgeist 2. And I really felt that you didn't properly explain what's involved with it.
I don't think I really know what's involved with it. From what I understood of what he said, it has to do with eliminating money and eliminating barter and eliminating like any sort of medium of exchange go between people that have things they want to buy and sell. And that to me is, like Mark said, a very Star Trek kind of idea, like where everybody would have to have replicator machines to even get close to some sort of a world like that. So maybe you can better explain it, because it's
confusing. I was going to give you the elevator pitch.
Okay, go ahead.
And that is, there's certain natural resources that people need to make certain things. And yep. So they're out there. And so basically you just kind of allocate these natural resources as need be.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yes.
You just kind of allocate these natural resources as need be. Who is you, and how is it that you're kind of allocating them?
Well, you see, here's the thing, is you don't have to worry about things like these petty little things like compensation for your labor or anything, because if you watch Zeitgeist 2, they talk about having tons of robots to do all the work for you.
That's
the thing you guys left out.
So we're talking about something that would be happening in a Star Trek-like future where wealth has been created to the point where there is no more need for a medium of exchange, where we've tapped into some sort of free energy source and you can have replicators and as many robots as you want to, and the robots are fixing the robots, so you don't have to pay someone to fix the robots. And
so
you're talking
about robots fix the replicators?
Sure, yeah.
What about the replicator fixing robots? Who fixes those?
Well, the universal fixing robots. They can fix everything.
Robots. I see. So at that point, all labor and everything that is goods and services no longer have value because they are no longer scarce.
What will stop the robots from eliminating the pesky humans that are just there sucking off of their efforts?
Well, they're not. They can't be autonomous. That would be a death sentence, of course. As everybody watches movies.
So what you are saying then is this so-called resource-based economy isn't some kind of vision for implementation immediately, but some sort of Star Trek science fiction.
It requires a major special pleading.
A major what?
Special pleading. It's like an argument that involves something that you can't prove. You know, a special pleading.
Yeah, it's a fantasy idea, which, okay, fine. You know, once we get to the point of having an untappably large energy source that just keeps coming and coming, and we can just turn that into whatever the hell we want to turn it into.
Fabulous. I think we should. I argue for it. And anybody who speaks against it is a Luddite. I hate them. I am for what you say. I mean, this is stupid, is what this is.
You've cleared it up.
I love it, but there is absolutely no point in talking about it except in the realm of being able to sell science fiction books.
Yeah, well, if you thought the voluntary society was unattainable in your lifetime, try this one.
I'm for the voluntary society and machines that allow me to have as many ice cream sundaes and sex with Brooke Shields. I'm for those, too.
I'm with you there, but I think it's interesting to think about it. You know, a society that no longer needs money because you have this replicator machine, it's going to undergo a fundamental change.
It would be
ideas that would become the currency, because everybody would be, if you could do anything, you would be looking for that new experience, that new thing, whatever it is. It's gluttony at its worst.
And maybe by that point, I mean, it's so difficult to, it's fun to imagine these things, but difficult to figure out which one's actually going to happen, because it can be all manner of different things. I mean, for instance, by the time technology is to the point where you have this untappable energy source, or what's the word for it? An untappable
perpetual motion machines,
energy that never runs out, that kind of thing. And of course, we know that that's available because energy just changes form, so it's just a matter of figuring out how to best utilize that. But maybe we'll get to the point where the internet is so interconnected that we're all jacking in to our brains, and like we don't even have to. We've merged with robot bodies. We don't need to feed ourselves anymore, so we become these robots. And who knows? It could be anything, right? Right?
There was a cartoon movie about that where they're all on the spaceship and they're in their remote control chairs that they buzz around, they talk on the phone and watch TV, and they drink these big milkshake drinks, and they're all like 400 pounds and can't get out of their chairs anymore, but the robots just take care of everything. It's great.
So yeah, any of these things are possible. So there you go. Thanks for clearing that up. Anything else on your mind tonight?
No, I just wanted to have a few laughs with you guys about that.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. Let's go to Johnson in Connecticut. Johnson, you're on Free Talk Live on the Amp Line.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Johnson.
So I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about objectivism.
Okay.
Okay, so I think your views on objectivists in general are... it's almost like a little bit of collectivism on your part, Ian, because you're judging them based on a few people who you've met and not necessarily on the philosophy itself, which you've basically expressed that you have no interest in actually learning about, which is somewhat collectivist to judge, to judge such a large notion by such a small few group of people.
So, Johnson, I've been trying to find out all night, what is it that sets objectivism apart from a pure voluntary society? And I haven't really gotten an answer, because that's what would kill it for me.
See, I don't necessarily think that there is anything that sets objectivism against a voluntary society. In fact, Ian, you said you read Anthem, which is sort of a very short story, but with this, super liberty hero at the center of this story, which I think is great, and it may have actually had some influence on you, especially if you read it while you were younger, and you might not even realize it. But her real opus is Atlas Shrugged, which the main central character of that book. We can talk about Galt's Gulch. I'm sure everybody in the Liberty Movement has heard something of Galt's Gulch. Well, the oath that one needs to take to get into Galt's Gulch that's very central to the story is, I swear that I will live my life for, or I swear by my life and my love of it that I will live my life for no man, nor expect that he live his for me. That's pretty much a voluntarist statement right there. And I think there are a lot of objectivists out there that are very confused and have taken that that phrase, my love of life, to mean that they'd be willing to defend themselves at very aggressive costs. In other words, I don't think that you guys have very well-defined views as to when, what level of aggression, in other words, at what level do you fight back? I understand that you guys are pacifists,
well,
but I'm not advocating violence. I certainly don't want to advocate violence.
You know, Johnson, in Galt's Gulch, they had this super magical force field that made them invisible to overhead radar. So in absence of that, I'm living in a world where there are men down the street with guns who are willing to hurt me if I don't do what they say.
Right. I can be completely invisible if I take all my clothes off.
Also, Galt's Gulch had an infinite energy device that sucked energy out of the static electricity in the air.
Sweet.
So, yeah. Both of those things were true. So, again, we are in this fictional fantasy future land, not future in the case of Atlas Shrugged, but future in the case in the sense that they had super geniuses who could invent these futuristic devices.
Well, Johnson, I think your analysis so far is right, that it's certainly not fair of me to judge objectivism based on the few objectivists that I might have talked to, but it should be a little more fair for me to look at the description of what objectivism is and say, well, I disagree with that, so how can I be an objectivist? I'll bring you back. You can come in here in a moment. Hang on. 800-259-9231. I know, Sam, you want to jump in here, and we'll talk to you if you've got something to add to this conversation or you want to bring up anything. 800-259-9231. Free Talk Live.
Read Drop Dead Gorgeous, the debut horror novel by liberty-loving Irish author Wayne Simmons. Meet horror's new bad girls in the chilling page turner, hailed by David Mooney, author of Haters, as completely brilliant. Drop Dead Gorgeous is available from Amazon.freetalklive.com and all other major online retailers. Go to DropDeadDolls.com now for more details. Live free, then die.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you'd like to replace the ineffective and toxic cleaning products under your sink, you need to visit BioGreenClean.com. BioGreen Clean is the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms every other competitive cleaning product on the market today. BioGreen Clean is tough enough to take on the kitchen, the bathroom, your outdoor grill, and virtually anything in your car, home, boat, or office, yet is safe enough for your children and pets. BioGreen Clean does not contain harmful chemical solvents, such as commonly used chemicals, butox ethanol, petroleum products, bleach, hydrogen peroxide, annoying fragrances, or perfumes. BioGreen Clean is eco-friendly, effective, and your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. So get rid of all those harmful cleaning products and get the one that actually works. Visit BioGreenClean.com. That's BioGreenClean. BioGreenClean.com. Or call 877-572-6516. That's 877-572-6516. BioGreenClean. It works hard so you don't have to. Try it today.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up anything if you dial toll-free 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. Joining you tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, and they include the chat room. We've got it open 24 hours a day for your convenience, though the best time to find people, of course, is during the live show hours. Head over to chat.freetalklive.com. That is chat.freetalklive.com. And audible.com is the internet's leading provider of spoken audio entertainment. You can listen whenever and wherever you want, just like a podcast. Audible has over 60,000 titles from which to choose, and in every genre, Audible has it covered. Get a free audiobook download when you sign up today. Go to audiblepodcast.com/FTL and get your free audiobook. That's audiblepodcast.com/FTL. As we continue here with your calls, Johnson is still on the line in Connecticut. Do continue, sir. We're talking about objectivism. I'm still trying to really understand what it is and how it's different. It seems to be different from voluntarism, but you wanted to go on a certain track, so continue.
Okay, well, I don't think that it's necessarily different from voluntarism. I will say that I'm not sure. I don't know that I would necessarily call myself an objectivist just for the very same reason.
Well, let me insert something here. Since you said you don't think it's necessarily different, I'm again on the objectivism Wikipedia page, which I'm sure is not the end-all be-all of what objectivism is, because it is Wikipedia, right? But
right.
This is an excerpt from that particular page. And
I don't think that's the greatest definition of objectivism in the world, but yeah.
Well, no, here's another. It's a very lengthy definition. There's all kinds of detail here.
Yes, it is.
And here's part of it. Objectivism views government as legitimate, but only a government of a definite kind. Rand understood government as the institution with a monopoly on the use of physical force in a given geographical area, so the issue is whether that force is used to protect or to violate individual rights. The government should use force only to protect individual rights, said Rand. Therefore, the proper functions of a government are the police to protect men from criminals, the armed services to protect men from foreign invaders, the law courts to settle disputes among men according to the objectively defined laws. Who defines those laws and what they are, of course, is an undefined question here, an unanswered question. In protecting individual rights, it says, the government is acting as an agent of its citizens and has no rights except the rights delegated to it by its citizens. It also is important that the government act in an impartial manner according to specific, objectively defined laws. And it doesn't say in there that that Ayn Rand's vision of government would be a voluntarily formed and a voluntarily administrated organization. It may allude to that, but that sounds very minarchistic. It sounds very small government-y to me, not voluntarism.
I don't think that she ever wrote specifically on the subject.
Maybe she never thought that far, you know? Maybe she never got to that point. I don't know.
How far she got for her time is absolutely astounding. I mean, I would say, especially coming from someone who is very atheistic, I wouldn't call myself a straight-up atheist. I call myself a strong agnostic. But Atlas Shrugged, as far as books go, is definitely one of the best books that I've ever read, just because of the predictions in it for what's going on and how a government sort of takeover of society would occur. I mean, she has predicted it on these different levels. And one of the main tenets that I heard you guys talk about as far as the spiritual aspects of it is that she does this sort of attack on this minister of science as one of the characters in the book. And I found it really interesting in that you had sort of a problem with the philosophy of, I guess, reality being objective. You discussed it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually one of my core beliefs that I agree with on objectivism is that the Bain tenet, which is existence exists.
Yep.
And that creates an identity for something, you know, or a leaf can't be red and green all at the same time.
Right.
It can't burn and freeze.
This is this is the part about objectivism that I like too, and this is where Ian and I sort of diverged a little bit. He's just sort of saying, "Oh, what if we were in the Matrix?" And which is just sort of a silly scenario. However, the fact is we are in the Matrix, and there's a little black box sitting in front of me. Ian, you can see the little black box. Sam can see the little black box. We can all point at the little black box. There's an effing little little black box here. We're not in the Matrix. So, like, it's all this information is usable. We're in the real world.
Right. And I'm not saying the information should be rejected. I'm not saying that Ayn Rand doesn't have good ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I can't necessarily jump on board with that particular belief system in, you know, believing firmly that reality is as you observe it. And I'd like to give you an example of one of the reasons why. Beyond my limited experience, I've had conversations with other people whom I trust, like Julia. She's not here to talk for herself right now, but I've told this story before, and it's one of my favorite ones. It's one of those wow, oh my gosh stories that just makes you question the reality as you have observed it. And there was a time when she was doing LSD at the beach with her her brother, and I don't know if her brother was there, but her boyfriend was there, maybe her brother was there. I think there were two other people there, including herself. So three people, all had taken LSD.
There's always LSD involved.
Well, it's one of those things that that reveals things about what you thought was reality that you might not you would never have experienced otherwise. And
right.
There was a point at which they looked up at the sky. And one of them pointed out the fact that this bird had separated into three different, multiple birds. One bird had sort of disconverged itself into three entities. And they pointed up at that and said, "Are you guys? Do you see that? Am I seeing things? You know, basically to confirm, you know, hey, they're tripping, right? So you could see things that aren't necessarily there." And if it was one of them that saw it and the other two didn't, well, then that would say, oh, well, you're really high, right? But all three of them saw this happen. And it wasn't like, you know, a flock that just happened to be flying in the exact same formation. You couldn't tell that it was more than one bird. It was very clear to them that there was some sort of bizarro thing happening that otherwise would not have happened in the normal realm in which they exist. And that's just one of those things that gets you to say, huh, maybe there's more to this reality than what we realize.
I think I might say, maybe there's more to this reality than realized if the word LSD wasn't mentioned in the beginning of the story.
Why not? Isn't it possible that LSD can change your perception of what reality is?
Sure it can. So can tying a blindfold on.
I would say absolutely it can. So what you're saying is that three people who are all sharing the exact same altered state of perception saw a bird and perceived that bird to be splitting into three different parts. Now,
No, three different birds. Multiple birds came out from one bird, and they all saw the same hallucination.
Now, for them, that is their reality. Now, however, the logical explanation there would be, do you think that there was actually a bird that split into three different birds, or do you think that maybe something happened where three people who were, you know, out of their minds at the time on LSD?
I don't think they were out of their minds. No, I don't think they were out of their minds. I think they were able to experience a part of reality that most people would not otherwise be able to experience because their mind had been opened to that particular portion of reality. It's like getting a little peek into a completely different world that you're not really familiar with.
Johnson, how would you explain some of the Native American vision quests where they see, you know, some of the same elements or characters or things happening?
Completely altered state of mind brought about by a chemical interaction with your brain that causes you to see certain things in synesthetic fashion. I've taken LSD myself.
Hey, then that's the way the world will exist for you.
You can hear colors and see sounds and do all sorts of stuff on LSD.
I'm telling you, if I take my clothes off, I'm completely invisible, and I'm going to show you during the break.
Thank you, Johnson. I appreciate it. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You bring up anything, it is Free Talk Live.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard to digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet, or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Acola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
Did you know that millionaire, entrepreneur, businessman, and your congressional candidate, Robert Beatles, wrote a 72-page book on how to become wealthy? It doesn't matter if you are poor or wealthy. This book is for you. The book tells you how to create and protect your wealth, and it's called Here's What You Do. You can buy it for only $6 at hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net. Buy it today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
Show us Free Talk Live, and it allows you to bring up whatever you want. If you dial toll-free, 1-800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. The objectivism conversation has been re-stirred up here, and we're going to continue it here in a moment. First, I want to tell you about the Free State Project. Whether you consider yourself an objectivist or libertarian or a voluntarist, whatever it is, as long as you love liberty, you belong here in New Hampshire. You belong as a part of the Free State Project because it's thousands of like-minded liberty-minded people, all moving to the same place, same geographic area, that is New Hampshire, and getting active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. So hopefully, if we can get this darn coercive state off of our backs, we can get to that point of having an unlimited energy supply and the robots, fixing the robots and all the things we've been talking about. But in the meantime, we have to deal with the men and women who are using coercive violence on people. And that's one of the reasons why getting together is really proven to be very effective, as we've seen here so far. As hundreds of people have made the move as part of the Free State Project, thousands more are pledged to move, and we still need you. We are only about halfway to the 20,000 mark, so we need you to get signed up over at freestateproject.org. Go learn more, freestateproject.org. talking about objectivism. I still don't really understand a whole lot about it, and I'm being criticized here because I'm not interested in finding out.
You're a bad man.
I'm not interested in picking up whatever the hell book is going to tell me about objectivism. Leonard Peikoff wrote one about Ayn Rand and objectivism. I could read that. I'm sure I could read some of Ayn Rand's works, and then I would know more about what objectivism is, but it's not going to change my belief system in that I am a voluntarist. I can explain that in one sentence. I believe all human beings' interaction should be on a voluntary basis. I don't really feel like I need much more than that. I mean, the guy that we were talking to earlier says, well, what about the mysticism? What about the churches that want to control people? Well, they're doing it on a voluntary basis, so I disagree with what they're doing with people that, you know, they're telling them, well, you believe our belief system or you're going to burn in hell. I disagree with that. But do I need to know what objectivism is to, like, solidify that in my mind? Because it's already pretty there. I'm there. I'm not an organized religion kind of guy.
Yeah, and if you believe in voluntary interactions, what exactly are you going to do about the churches that are teaching people that if they don't do what they say, that they're going to hell?
Well, I can talk about my beliefs.
Right, and that's about it. I mean, that's all the objectivists can do, too.
Right, so I just don't feel like I have the voluntarist label that I've applied to myself at the moment, and I don't feel any need to be a voluntarist objectivist. It seems to be complicating the issue for me. That's how I felt about it so far. And then we got into the example, we started talking about more metaphysical kinds of things, and Sam, you and I had begun on a discussion about what some people, and I tend to agree with this, consider life to be, and that is, you know, more than just observing reality and reacting to it and choosing what you want to do. It's also, I think, about a kind of a spiritual journey that you're starting at point A, and you're, instead of just living your life day to day, you hopefully will be growing as you're living your life, growing in your understanding of your interaction with things in the universe and taking it to the next level. And I think that that's a really worthwhile pursuit.
Yeah, and I think the objectivist oath that Johnson recited on the air earlier is kind of touches on that. It's the idea is really behind sacrifice, that no one should have to sacrifice to please somebody else. And that, if taken down to its core, that means that people should be out there living their higher purpose. And that's something I agree with. I think that's the path to spiritual enlightenment, to being more effective and having an impact out on the world.
And what I was saying when I was giving the example of my people that I know that it had a very very interesting LSD experience was immediately written off by Johnson. And Mark, you were making fun of me during the break for it as well. And what I was suggesting there is that those experiences can get people to question their beliefs about reality. It's easy for us to sit here and say, oh, well, this does this and this works this way because we've always observed it working that way. But then if you take a certain chemical and you observe things working differently, it's easy to say, oh, well, that's just the chemical that's working on you. Well, what if the chemical is allowing your brain to experience reality in a fashion that you wouldn't normally experience it? Can you learn from that? Is there something that you can gain from that? Is there some sort of understanding you can gain from it? There's no real conclusion you can draw from the fact that you've just seen one bird split into three different birds and then go back again, and you saw it at the same exact time as two other people saw it. There's not really a lot you can take away from that beyond, huh, maybe there is a little more to this whole reality thing than I thought. When you start looking into, and I'm not a physicist, I'm not a scientist, but I've read some interesting things about things like quantum physics, where these quantum physics science-y guys went into these experiments expecting certain things to happen because of their observations based on what they've seen throughout their lives, and then the quantum stuff went completely differently
yes.
than how they were expecting it to happen. And that's one of the things where, wow, huh, things weren't quite as I thought they were. And then you change your perception, then you change your understanding based on your experiences. And so that's all I was saying with the LSD thing. It allows people to experience drugs, allow people to experience reality from a different perspective. What they take away from that is completely different depending on who they are. If there's somebody that's entering into an experience like that, an altered state of consciousness, with the mentality of, hey, let's get effed up, well, then you're not going to really be coming at it from an intellectual kind of capacity. that wow factor may be there, but it won't be experienced by you in the same way that it would be experienced by somebody that's coming into mental state in a more intellectual way. Am I making sense there at all?
Yeah, somebody going in to watch a movie for entertainment versus to get the message behind the story.
That's a great way to wrap that up.
Did the bird split into three and then come back together?
I don't recall. Julia's around here somewhere. No. You can ask
I'm asking
her.
You.
I wasn't there. It was Julia's story.
Do you believe that the bird split into three and then came back into one?
Or, I believe that's what the story was, but I'm not sure. I'm not recalling it correctly.
It doesn't really matter to me. What I'm asking is, what do you believe happened?
I can't explain that to you, Mark. I believe that
you
they were
the
on...
the bird split into three things?
I don't
three
know.
Birds and then came
I,
back?
I don't. I have no
you
explanation
do not know
for that.
If the bird split
I'm not
into
going
three?
To go out on a
You're not
on a limb.
Speculate as to whether one bird split into three birds and then
I
came back into one bird.
I can tell you what they saw. What I recall them telling me that was seen.
Sure, sure. I'm not going to
draw a conclusion based on that.
Okay. If I got to place a bet, I would place my bet on the bird did not, in fact, split into three birds and then return to one bird.
Was there
did
a bird?
Not, wait a minute. Did not, in fact, well, how do you determine what the facts are? This is where I disagree with the objectivist right from the beginning. Objectivism holds reality exists independent of consciousness. So the objectivist... which is your position here, Mark, that you've taken on for this purpose, perhaps, of arguing, I don't know. The objectivist would say, well, because there were other people that weren't on LSD that observed the bird and they only saw one bird, therefore the fact is there was only ever one bird. But if it was just the three people on that beach seeing that bird split into three birds, then the objective fact there is that bird split into three damn birds.
No, no. What I'm saying is that there was a bird or not a bird. Okay, like there may have not have
Could
been
have
a bird.
Been a pure vision.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
There was either a bird or not a bird. And if there was a bird, the bird didn't split into three birds and then return to one bird.
For them, it did.
No, it didn't.
No, for them, it did.
Okay, fine.
Observation says it did.
Sure,
their observation
I can draw pretty
reality
pictures
for them,
on
right?
a computer, and that doesn't make them real. I can do drugs and see visions. That doesn't make them real. All I'm saying is the bird, if there was a bird, did not split into three birds. What you drew away from the scenario is fabulous, man. Take your trip and get whatever spiritual message you want to get out of it. It's beautiful, brother. I don't care. But the bird did not split into three birds and then return into one bird if there was, in fact, a bird. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but you're being awfully sure.
Sure,
about,
I'm rigid.
You're a rigid guy.
Perhaps it was only one bird, but what they saw was a blending of several different parallel universes or realities, and that's what created the three birds.
Great explanation. Who knows? That's just it. I'm saying I don't know what that is. I'm not going to make a definitive statement saying that my observations when I'm completely sober are what the universe is and this is reality. I don't effing know what reality is. I know what my observations are, and that's about it.
Kids, this is why you shouldn't do drugs.
If a tree falls in the forest, does it make a jackass?
I don't know what you're getting at there. 800-259-9231. Why are you bringing donkeys into this? More on the way. We're talking about birds. It's Free Talk Live.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, I didn't write it. I didn't approve it. I wasn't even consulted. If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizedDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizedDC.org.
Thomas Jefferson once said, when the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter, sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Finally in the news this evening, it's being reported that cyber spies from Russia and China have now penetrated our power grid. Even as energy experts are reporting that each summer we get closer and closer to the limits of our nation's power grid, some say that this summer's demand for electrical power may finally push the grid over its edge, creating a cascade of power outages across the country, putting us all in the dark.
Are you prepared for the next round of storm-related outages or government-created blackouts? Have you ever thought about taking steps to get off the grid and generate your own private supply of electrical power? If so, this will be the most important information you have ever heard. Solar-powered generators are finally available. They have no moving parts to wear out or break and require absolutely no gas whatsoever. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Check out mysolarbackup.com before you lose your power.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. Bring up whatever you want, even these remaining moments. We'll try to sneak you in here. Probably shouldn't give the number out, though, because phones are kind of loaded up here. But I will anyway. 800-259-9231, because you never know who will drop off the lines here. It's Ian with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. If you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can learn how to promote us by going to promote.freetalklive.com. We've got a whole list of things you can do to help get this show into more ears around the world via the internet and also via radio stations around the United States. Go to promote.freetalklive.com. Whole list of very interesting things you can do. Some of them completely free. Some of them cost you a little bit, like printing out flyers. Promote.freetalklive.com. As we continue here taking your phone calls, let's go to Matt in Illinois. Matt, you're on Free Talk Live on the Amp Line.
Hi, guys. Just real quick, then I'll try to tackle this question about reality and consciousness being separate. I don't think that's something that you can know. That's something that you have to assume. Mm-hmm. And a good example of that is that you can assume way out in the middle of space in the total emptiness of the universe is there's reality out there. There's things that are real, rocks, ice, whatever, but nobody's consciousness is actually there. And, but if you,
you could assume there is consciousness there if you wanted.
To go there, you would find that reality.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, that reality is existing. It's kind of like, does France exist? Well, I don't know. I'm not in France right now. Does it exist? Well, the French people that are there say that it does exist, but do I know that they exist? I can't tell, if I can get on the phone with one of them.
Right. You take the presumption that it does because the evidence that you've seen says it does.
Correct.
Until you prove yourself otherwise.
But you can't know it. I don't think you can know anything. I mean, you are your consciousness. That's all you are, and you have to deal with reality as you see it.
Well, yeah,
and as it happens,
and it is as it is. And if you operate as though it isn't as it is, then what are you going to be dealing? Like, where are you swimming out?
I'm not saying you should operate as it. I'm not saying you should operate outside of what your observations are. I'm just saying I can't agree with their first tenet of objectivism. I can't agree with it. I don't want to hold that belief because I think there's more to reality than meets the eye, so to speak.
But at the same time, I think that reality is separate from consciousness. It's hard to try to put yourself in this position, but say nothing conscious exists. Would that mean that reality didn't exist anymore? If there was nothing that had consciousness?
I think that consciousness is a very important part of reality. I would think that, I think there's a possibility that, nothing would exist if no consciousness existed.
So do you believe then that the rocks have consciousness? That the Earth itself has a consciousness?
I don't know. I don't really have the most firm beliefs in this area. Sam, how do you feel on that one?
I think they're connected. Do rocks have consciousness? I don't know. I would tend to say no. But are they part of the same energy that make up you and I? And in that sense, are we connected? Yes.
I mean, science, I think from what I've seen, has shown that everything is indeed connected at a very atomic sort of level, sharing electrons and things like that. You know, the difference between the desk that I'm looking at here and me is a difference in vibration, a difference in frequency. The desk seems solid, but science shows that it's actually moving at a very, very slow rate compared to perhaps me.
I agree with that. Everything can be shown to be vibrations. When you start getting into really, really small things, stuff starts getting really, really strange.
Right, that's when reality starts to break down. That's why these quantum
physics... don't exist at those small areas. Like, reality is as reality is for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right, but you... But you still need to make certain basic assumptions to be able to operate and to...
Obviously.
I don't know, sound sane, I guess. To be sane. Actually, what your beliefs are and what is are two different things in and of itself. Or can be.
What your beliefs are...
It's a very hard to wrap your mind around, but... I think that it's just the phrasing that they use in Wikipedia where you say this is what you believe, but this is what you assume. And I think that would be more accurate.
Okay. They are assuming, they are holding, according to their definition, that reality exists independent of consciousness. I think that's generally an observable thing, but I don't know if it's true. And I'm not going to, base my belief system around a tenet like that.
And now you certainly couldn't observe reality if there was no consciousness. There has to be a consciousness for things to observe reality.
Indeed.
But if there was no consciousness, there'd be nothing there to observe it. That doesn't mean that it didn't exist.
We can't prove that. I mean, all we're now talking about is all of this conversation has been speculative, and it doesn't have any bearing on how you should live your life. I don't think any of us have said that you should live your life believing that reality isn't real. That would be a world of insanity. But to be open-minded to the possibility that there's more to what you're seeing, that there's more to reality than what you were aware of, I think is very important. And thank goodness some of the scientists are open-minded to that because they went into a lot of those quantum experiments expecting to see certain things, and they saw something that they weren't necessarily expecting. They were open-minded to it, so they assimilated it, and they looked at it, and they said, well, wow, let's keep testing with this stuff. This is pretty far out. Stuff is not acting in the way that we expected it to at a quantum level. And that's when a lot of this metaphysical world is kind of seems to be melding with the scientific world at some level.
Well, yeah, there's a whole science now because you talk about vibration. Well, there's an infinite high amount of vibration that we can't see, we can't detect, and there's an infinite low or slower vibration that we also cannot detect. We as physical beings we can only observe the vibration in a certain...
It's like the video game character, and thank you, Matt, for the call tonight. It's like the video game character analogy that you had made during one of the breaks, Sam. Can you make that on the air?
Yeah, you know, a character in a video game is not going to know that he is a character in the video game. I mean, he's only been programmed to understand a certain amount, a predefined set or a determination of what reality is, and how do we know that we're not looking in that from that same limited perspective? And I think to some extent we are.
I think there's something to be said for that, and that ties into what Matt was saying there. Like you, as far as what the vibrations you can perceive, you can only hear, you know, below, you can only hear above 20 hertz, and you can only hear below 20,000 kilohertz. Your eyes can only see so many, you know, different vibrations of color. Some people can see less. Some people are colorblind, for instance.
Yeah, and some people are open to being able to put themselves in a trance like Edgar Cayce and communicate with something that's able to impart all of this medical knowledge on him that he couldn't possibly have obtained on his own.
He got it from Atlantis.
Atlantis, yeah. Okay, thanks, Mark.
I believe Edgar Cayce actually did claim to communicate with Atlantis in some way or another, is what my understanding is. But, there are parts of the objectivist philosophy I think are pretty cool, and they work really well. There are other parts I certainly don't agree with, and they are basically atheists. Essentially an atheist philosophy, which is, it's fine. I have no problem with people that want to be atheists. To me, I find life more interesting, if nothing else, in believing that there's a God out there and believing that if there is, that he wants some level of communication with me. I certainly don't believe most of the religious gobbledygook that we're handed off today, but that's fine, you know, it's all fine with me. I don't know about the birds splitting into three and then coming back.
Well, that's what I was going to say there, and since you brought it back around, this whole video game character analogy, we're here in the third or fourth dimension. I mean, the fourth dimension is basically time on top of the third dimension, as I understand it, at least. And there's a really great video out there on the internet, and I'm sure you can Google the 10 dimensions or YouTube. Is it the 11 dimensions?
String theory is 11.
It's been a while since I've seen the video. 10 or 11, go look for that, because it'll really blow your mind as far as these different dimensions that are out there and how many different realities there could, in point of fact, be. You have your observations, and based on your observations, you've determined what your reality is. But what if that video game character could be shown evidence that there were more options in the game than he realized?
Easter eggs.
Show him the Easter eggs.
Additional levels.
Show him the secrets, the additional levels that he never realized that he could reach. I think that's part of this, you know, the spiritual journey that we are on, is you can stay right here at this level where you want to be. If it's fine for you where it is, stay right here. It's a nice, enjoyable life. But there's more. I think there's more levels that you can attain. And I think that...
God mode?
No, I think that we're already there. Open up to you when you're willing to take a look.
You know, we can continue this here. We'll do an extended edition of the show. I don't know if Sam has time to hang out here, but if you're on the radio, see you tomorrow night. If you're on the internet, stick around. We'll be doing a little more.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new, and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color-free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.